Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 230.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode 230. My name is Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for being here, host and creator of Jazz Piano School. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've recorded a podcast. We've been super busy. We had a couple promotions happening. We released a How to Easily Play Stride and Ragtime Like a Pro specialty course. That went super, super well. And we're still releasing some transcriptions for that for the members. And yeah, I've been traveling, honestly. I needed a break because, man, COVID, you know, when things have been opening up more, and I just need to get out and move around after being stuck in a house for a year, right? So I needed kind of a break. I needed to refresh myself, to rejuvenate my soul and my being. And it's hard, you know, it's hard to consistently do things year after year after year. And I mean, Jazz Piano School is going on 7 years now, and filming podcasts and putting out education for 7 years. I mean, think about that. Like, that's not easy. It's not easy. And I'm not trying to gain pity or anything, but I'm just stating what I feel inside. And, you know, I need breaks, you know. So I feel better now. I'm feeling good. And I have so much going on in my life. You know, I'm such a creative person, and I love working on different things, and I'm working on helping musicians to build businesses that work for them and their lifestyle, like I've done with Jazz Piano School, helping them do that. That can be found at my personal website, brendanlowe.com. If you are a musician out there and you're listening and you're looking to get help, or just wonder about what it would be like to have your own business. And I use the word business kind of, that always scared me. That word scared me when I was younger, because it sounded like you needed like an enterprise, like, excuse me, like Coca-Cola or like Lowe's or Home Depot, like this huge business. But you don't. I mean, all you need is certain strategies that I teach that are simple and can help you get on a path to becoming your own boss, becoming a solopreneur, right? A digital CEO. In this day and age, I mean, everyone's self-producing, self-recording, you know, doing everything. And if COVID's taught us anything, our office at our house can be everything we need. You know, you just need, you know, literally all you need really is just a computer, the internet, and like a phone, a smartphone. That's really it. That's really it. And you can start your own business. But anyway, that's my other things that I work on, and then I have bands and things like that, and I'm trying to promote and get concerts for and stuff like that. So a whole bunch of stuff. Anyway, back to Jazz Piano School. So yeah, we released the How to Easily Play Like a Stride and Ragtime Like a Pro. That was really, really fun and awesome. And Sterling Koza, I thought he did a great job with that course. We got some good feedback from it. We got some good critical feedback as well, which I always appreciate. And I'm always looking to improve Jazz Piano School and make it the best as possible for you, the person, the listener, right? The members area is what I'm referring to. Obviously, we'll always continue to put out free education for people that don't want to become members. But obviously, if you become a member, you can get access to a whole bunch more. I loved that course. My next course that I'm going to be working on is an improvisational course. And this kind of ties in to the structure of Jazz Piano School. I don't want to give anything away, but I'm going to be changing the membership structure. And it's kind of taken me a while to get to this point, but I think it's for you. It's for the members. It's for the people that will sign up in the future, for anyone that wants to sign up. And it's going to be great. So there's three main areas. I've said this a lot over the podcast. There's a main course curriculum. Again, that's just this big kahuna of a curriculum, right? And again, schools, colleges, high schools, and studios use the resources there because it's essentially a curriculum. I mean, it's you can move through all the steps. It's all sequential, and you can learn how to play jazz piano. Not everyone wants to do that. I mean, that's definitely a marathon, right? Some people want to sprint in a certain area, like the blues, or they want to get better at improvisation, right? Now, you can do that with the main curriculum, but you kind of have to search for the specific topics you want, and it's more tailored to someone who wants to kind of go step by step in all areas of jazz. They want to improve all levels of their playing, not just one level. So what I did is that I built a specialty course area when I was first starting jazz piano school, and these specialty courses were to focus on certain aspects or categories of playing jazz piano, right? How to Crush the Blues is one of our specialty courses. We just released the Stride and Ragtime. These are specialty topics that people want to get better at, right? So we have blues, we have a Bill Evans course, we have a Christmas course, we have a vocal accompaniment course. We have a, what else? We have a ballad course, right? Now we just released the Stride and Ragtime. And then my next goal, my next release here coming up in a couple months, I haven't started filming any of the course, just jotting down the outline and things like that. But this particular podcast is going to let you dive in and get a sneak peek into the categories and the way that I'm going to teach improv to all of you in this upcoming improvisational specialty course. Now, the structure change in Jazz Piano School that's going to be coming up very, very soon past my birthday. My birthday is August 1st and is going to deal with the specialty courses. Now, up until now, I'm going to give it away right now, but it's all good. Up until now, if you sign up for a membership, you get access to the lab area, which is kind of small, innovative ways to learn jazz piano, meaning we have gig analysis, transcription analysis, tune analysis. We have mini courses. We have all these like fun little things that you can bounce around from. And you also get access to the main course curriculum success path, which is, again, six stages, courses, quizzes, education, full curriculum. But you had to add on the specialty courses at cost if you wanted to get access to them as a monthly member. You still had to pay once to add them onto your account, and you get lifetime access to them, but you still had to pay. So you can probably guess what's going to be happening. That's going to be changing. You can still buy the specialty courses anytime, release them, or anytime you want. At cost and have lifetime access to them. But if you're a monthly member, I'm not going to go further, but this is going to be the change that's happening in a couple weeks or so. I kind of have to build out. I'm going to be kind of reopening jazz piano, not reopening, but kind of building a promotion around this, just an event, so that, because I really want a lot of people to know about this change, because it's very significant, and I've gotten feedback on this throughout my careers, you know. And I originally approached the business structure as a kind of an app, you know, where you buy the app and you get access to things. But like, you know, in apps, it's kind of annoying where you have to, you do that, the add-ons. Like if you want access to certain things, you got to pay more to add on things in the app. And so like, I always grew up with apps and I was like, oh, it's cool, I'll just copy that. And then Netflix came around and it was like, you only pay one price, you get access to everything, right? And like, who doesn't love Netflix, right? We all love Netflix. Netflix is amazing. And I heard they're recently going to be doing video games coming up soon on their platform. And I was like, what? Free access to video games? That's crazy. But Netflix is just crushing it, right? And no one doesn't like Netflix. They're great business model company. They put Blockbuster out of business. So I love talking about business. I love business strategy. But anyway, you get the picture. I think I've given it away. Cat's out of the bag. I still don't want to say it yet, but those are the changes that are going to be happening. Now, let me grab some water real quick. This part of the podcast is for all the listeners out there in their car, right? Or their gym, or taking walks at their house. If you're watching the YouTube videos, I don't talk like this, right? And I switched this up a long time ago. This is for the people who want more insight into my life, who want to hear me ramble about things like an actual podcast. I would get so many comments on my YouTube videos because I started out filming the podcasts, the videos like this. And then people would be like, I understand too. And I get it. I love hearing, you know, people get mad, but they're saying legit things in YouTube and on comments, right? For the most part, they'd be like, why are you talking for 10 minutes before you're explaining this video? And I was like, dang, they got a point. So I ended up separating my ramble to iTunes, where people aren't watching anything. I have a lot of listeners that just kind of listen to the education. They're not at a piano or anything, right? You're just moving about. You're in the car and you're listening to my concepts. You're listening to the playing, so on and so forth. And so this is a great way to kind of hear more about my life. Some people don't give an S about that, but that's great. Some people do. Some people love it. I get emails from people that do like to listen to the backstory of my life and about what I'm doing, what's happening, the current events of Jazz Piano School, so on and so forth. So in this particular podcast, you're going to be hearing about a couple things, the five skill sets that you need to become a better improviser consistently over the longevity of your journey. Meaning a lot of things help you in the moment. These five things are meant to help you improve forever. Meaning like you're going to hit plateaus and you're going to run into stumbling blocks, right? And when you revert back to the things I'm going to teach you today, it's going to help you move past that. It's going to help you bust through the plateaus and continuously make consistent upward progress in your improvisation if you follow the things I'm giving you. Okay, if you don't, that's not going to happen. I also lay out the plan for the improvisational specialty course I'm going to be releasing in a couple months. And again, the whole kind of like lesson outline of the entire course will be based off this plan, because it's an improvisational progressive plan that I believe everyone needs. Everyone needs to follow. Everyone needs to get better. And there's some amazing things happening in it. And it's going to seem simple at first, but in the particular course I'll be releasing, each step goes deep. All right. So it's nice to be back and talking to you. And I needed a little break. I haven't done a recorded podcast in a while too. This is really, really nice. This was a pre-recorded podcast that I did. I needed a break from the live stuff too. That gets very emotionally draining to be on, right? To be on, like, you know, when you're on live, you got to be enthusiastic and happy and motivated, right? That's taxing. It's taxing. It takes a lot out of me. I love it. I love it to death, but you know, we all need breaks. We need breaks. Everyone needs breaks. And so that's what I'm doing right now. All right. Hope you guys enjoy. And here we go. So the five skill sets. Number one is going to be, you need to be able to assess where you're at and clearly name your goals for yourself. For example, if I have a goal to play more of a bebop style, right? That's going to be completely different than if I want to play like McCoy, right? That's a whole nother genre, right? Completely different. So the ability to assess where you're at, and let me give you another example too about assessment, is if you are, let's say, a beginner to an intermediate player, and you know a couple things, right? And obviously your goal is to get really, really good. And you go onto the internet and you want to learn something super fancy, so you learn about, you know, hexatonic scales, like I was just kind of using. If you're only able to do a couple things and you're, let's say your soloing is around this level here. You know, and then you go and you learn the hexatonic scale, right? On the internet, on the web or YouTube, right? And you're like, oh man, that's what I want to learn how to do. And you learn it and you try and use it, and now you're playing things like this. Boom.
probably not even here. And as you can see, you know, you're not really able to utilize the tool that you're learning because you're not really there yet, right? And it's the same for a lot of other reharms and things like that. If I were to show you a couple reharms, right? Maybe in the blues. So if I were to solo over that. That's not going to really help you, obviously, if you're not at that level. And I see this so much with so many of my students. You need to be able to, again, if you don't have a teacher or a guide or someone helping you, these are skill sets to use on your own. So you need to be able to properly assess where you're at. So how do we do that? You need sort of a plan. And I'm going to give you that plan, and it's in this podcast episode, actually. If you're listening to this on YouTube, there's a link in the show notes, or if you're on the website, jazzpianoschool.com, there'll be a link to the plan. Now, in my improvisation plan, I have four tiers, four layers, you know, I kind of interchange the names. If you go through these layers and you follow the tiers, that's going to be your plan to become an amazing improviser. Now, within these things, you have a lot of subcategories, but go get that plan, go get the tiers, and you can follow that plan step by step, essentially, to move your improvisation throughout its progress, okay? So the step one, number one, is you need kind of a general goal. So let me go through the plan just a little bit. If you're starting at the very beginning, essentially your only goal is to be able to play chord tones, to solo over chord tones in some sort of appropriate manner, right? So if I take my F major 7 chord here, and I take the chord tones F, A, C, E, these four chord tones make up my chord. In order to move to step two, which is connecting the chord tones, I should be able to solo with my chord tones throughout an entire tune. But let me just take this chord, for example. You should be able to do something along those lines of what I just demonstrated. Now, obviously, as you get better at this, you can make amazing solos that sound great, that actually no one would even be able to know that you're just using chord tones. So for example, if I were to solo over the tune Autumn Leaves, right? And I just use chord tones, go ahead and list, I mean, you know, right? But if I were to play this out, you know, in one of my performances, guarantee the audience wouldn't even know I was just using chord tones. One, two, a one, two, three, four. That was a diminished. So that was all chord tones. Now, that was a great solo, right? It wasn't the best, obviously, because I was very limited in what I could do. But your goal is to strive to reach that point in the plan, essentially. For each step listed in the plan, you want to get to this level that is almost kind of, you can create an amazing solo out of just the simplest things that I'm giving you, right? And that's your goal. And it's amazing to think. I mean, ask yourself if you can do this for all the different steps that I've listed there, and see if you can get to that level, because it's amazing to see how many people can't even just use chord tones, right? Just even use chord tones, something as simple as chord tones through a tune to create a nice solo. Now, if you can do that, then trust me, all the other steps are going to become that much easier, all right? So number one, know where you're at. Know where you're at in the journey, in your own journey. Know what your goal is. Okay, and really kind of take an assessment of what you need. What do you need in this moment? Because if you can't do what I just did, you don't need Coltrane licks. You don't need Herbie licks yet, right? You don't need Keith licks or lines. You need to just build a foundation. That's going to be number one. Number two is going to be learn and understand what improv tools are. Learn and understand what improv tools you are and how to integrate them, and I'm going to talk more about that. For example, an improv tool might be an altered scale. An altered scale is an improv tool. We need to have some sort of conceptual understanding of what improvisational tools are so that we can use them in our improvisation. So let's say my teacher taught me this, or I went to YouTube and I learned this improvisational tool. Now you want to be able to understand and differentiate what a tool is. A tool is not a lick. Okay, I don't classify licks or lines as tools because they're very specific. The tools allow us to create freedom, whereas licks and lines box us into playing exactly what that other person played. Do you see the difference? So if I were to learn this improv tool, it's my job now to use this tool and create improvisation out of it with the use of this tool. So on, so forth. So that's the use of an improvisational tool. Another improvisational tool, maybe a bebop approach, right? That's an improvisational tool that you may be working on and using and integrating into your language. So maybe my bebop approach is half step below to chord tone. So maybe I'm working on that, like over a G minor 7, half step below to chord tone. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit of interference here. Let me just check this real quick. Oh, now we're good. So if I were using half step below, right, I could create a solo out of this. So what I did there, I think I played this. So here's my half step below to chord tone. Half step below to chord tone over my F major 7. So I'm playing a G minor 7, half step below to the third, right? Half step below to the third of my C7, half step below to my third of my F major 7. So that's an improvisational tool. So you need to be able to distinguish between what tools are. The tool I used before to demonstrate the McCoy was a hexatonic scale, right? That's a tool, right? And that consists of two triads, F major and E flat major 7, or excuse me, just E flat major, right? So on and so forth. So as you go through your journey, you're going to encounter a lot of different things, a lot of information, right, about improv. And again, I highly recommend you follow my improv plan, and I produce a lot of tools within each step, within each layer, and give you a lot of tools inside of Jazz Piano School and obviously through my podcast. But this is what you should be aware of as you're learning, right? So there's so many different tools. Now, you need to understand the tool and then know how to apply it. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second, how we actually practice improv. But be on the lookout for improvisational tools, right? An improvisational tool may be a reharm in your left hand. If I was playing a blues, instead of just going to the four, right, chord, I might go one, tritone. Believe it or not, that's an improvisational tool as well. Why? Because I can improvise over that reharm now. So now I have a tool in my tool bag. It's a very simple one, right? It's a tritone substitution, but I can use that for improvisational purposes now. However I want, whenever I want, I have complete freedom over this tool. Or I can go. Now I'm just comping, right? But if I were to solo, right? So if I go F7, maybe B7 here. I'm not playing in time. But here's my B7 mixolydian. And then I resolve it. Maybe I reharm the F7 to an F sus. That's a reharm as well. So now I'm able to improvise over this reharm, right? So this is another tool. Another improvisational tool, or reharm tool if you want to call it, but it does apply to improvisation. So now I'm soloing over my sus. So I'd solo over my sus. So I'd have F sus here. I can do this. I'm just comping for myself. So So I rehearm both dominant chords to be sus. So those are improvisational tools, and you want to be able to learn and understand improv tools. The reason for this is because when you're able to distinguish what a tool is, what an improvisational tool is in the informational world, and by meaning, I mean the internet and your teacher, any resources that you find, you're going to be able to easily integrate those into your playing and hold on to them like they're your own, right? You know, it's like teaching someone how to fish instead of just giving them the fish. Okay, I've always considered lines and licks essentially the fish. It's like someone else is catching the fish and giving it to you. So you eat for the day. Obviously, you've probably heard this story or analogy, right? But when you learn improvisational tools, that tool is now yours. You know how to fish. You can catch your own fish. And that's what we're all striving to do, right? Is get our own fish, improvise ourselves, and create the lines from what we want to say musically. Okay? All right, number three. It's going to be how to practice. How do we practice spontaneous improvisation? So we've gone over our plan. We've gone over learning and understanding what tools are. How do we practice these tools within our plan? All right, let's say you're at, if hopefully you've downloaded the plan. Connecting chord tones, right? Connecting chord tones. So if we're to connect two chords, let's say a C minor 7 to an F7, in order to practice this, there's a couple things we need to do. We need to be able to execute it first, not in a spontaneous way, right? Because spontaneity, right, is going to be a lot of pressure. It's got to happen from our soul. It's got to happen right on the spot, and it takes a while to get there. Okay, so it's not reasonable to think you can just learn these tools or and then just kind of flip a switch and play them spontaneously. A lot of people jump immediately to that step. That's the wrong thing to do, okay? So here we go. We need to practice the connection of our chord tones into our next chord, F7 chord, right? Through the use of modes. And I'm not gonna get into all the theory, but let's say I'm trying to connect my chord tones. I'm gonna go really slow. So I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, right? So I'm practicing in a slow and controlled manner, no time. That's going to be your first step. Slow and controlled environment with no time. You're developing a relationship with the tool. So what I'm doing here is I'm starting on a chord tone. I'm moving down to the fifth. So I'm connecting my third to the five. Let's pick two other chord tones to connect, okay? Let's take the B flat, the seven of the C minor seven, and let's connect it to the five of the F7. There's a nice connection. Let's go from the 7 down to the 1 of the F7 chord. Now, if you know your bebop approaches, you could go half step below there. Now you're getting more of a bebop sound. You hear the difference? Right? As opposed to this. Okay. So that's going to be step number one of our practicing, Now we want to put some tempo to it. Okay, so the next step in learning how to practice improv, this is the process. What I'm doing right now is explaining the process to practice improv to get to the point where you're spontaneously creating. You can't just jump into the spontaneous creation part because you haven't trained. You haven't built the levels or the steps to get there. The next step is going to be with time. Okay, doing it under pressure with some tempo. Now, it's still not spontaneous yet. You're still kind of drilling, right? So let's pick two chord tones. Let's say the third in the third of the F7. So let's say we put a little pressure on ourselves. We add some time. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, I'm not playing any eighth notes yet. I'm still just playing quarter notes, right? Eighth notes would be the next thing in our kind of controlled environment that you'd want to add. I'm still doing quarter notes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Let's choose another combination. Let's go from the 5 to the 3. It's going to be a challenging one because they're right next to each other. I have to do some pivots, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Let's try eighth notes now, right? So again, this is going to get a little harder. And every time you bump up the difficulty, right, you want to revert back to the step one, which is the slow and controlled environment. Okay, don't go to spontaneous creation of eighth notes just yet. Okay, that's step number three, right? Actually, let's continue in this progression. Let's go to step number three with our chord notes, right? So now I'm going to be spontaneously connecting any type of chord tones, all the chord tones I need to connect. All right, so here we go. So I just connected the one to the three. Now I'll choose a different set. I don't know which ones I'm connecting. I'm just kind of doing it on the fly. So I connected the three to the seven of the F7. Let's do one more. So now I went from the five to the five of the F7 chord, right? So now we, in order to implement eighth notes, right, we're gonna revert back to step number one. Again, controlled, slow environment with no time. No time, no pressure, okay? Here we go. So now I'm doing eighth notes. This is gonna be a little harder because we need to add more movement, more motion with our eighth notes. But this is how we're gonna start to encompass that swing feel that we wanna get, right? So I'm gonna go seven and three here. Okay, one and two and three and four and one. Did you see that? One and two and three and four and one. So now I'm using a slow and controlled environment. I'm using eighth notes and I'm picking two chord tones to connect. This is a slow and controlled environment. There is no tempo and I'm picking the chord tones that I'm trying to control. This is the process of practicing improvisation that so many people neglect, right? And immediately, and I'm sure you can relate because I did it too. I did it all the time. We jump to the spontaneous act of using these tools to improvise, right? And again, that's like someone giving you a chainsaw when you've never used the chainsaw and they're like, hey, go chop this tree down, right? You're probably going to be pretty nervous, right? Or if you're, you know, a doctor handing you a scalpel and like tools, hey, go operate on this person. You cannot be expected to spontaneously perform a task that you've never done, you know, without training it first in a controlled environment that's slow and your brain can process, right? So again, if I were to teach you a tool like the altered scale, even myself, I did this for so long, I would jump and I would just take the scale and be like, now, I couldn't even do that, right? But nothing would come out right. All right. So this is the process of practicing improvisation. You need to take a step back for all the tools that you learn, right? Licks, anything. And licks, again, I mean, you can use the licks in a slow and controlled environment and then start to morph them. I'll get more into that later. But take your tools, go through that three-step process I just told you. Slow and controlled environment with no tempo. Slow and controlled environment with a tempo, and then finally, spontaneous creation with the use of that tool. And again, you can kind of fill in other steps there to make the progression either bigger, the gaps bigger, or smaller based on how advanced you want to make it, you know, make it up, to make tailor it to you, to your level. All right, number four, you need to understand and be able to analyze transcriptions and styles. Okay, this is like the last step in the five resources, skill sets that you need to consistently, become a better improviser, right? So you're going through my plan that I have, you're going through all the exercises there, you're going through the layers, you're working on all the things that I'm teaching you here. These are the very last steps of the plan. And if you've downloaded the plan, you'll see combination there for layer four and you'll see styles. Okay, and so this is more when we're analyzing transcriptions, we're looking at what people do, and we're incorporating their style into our playing. So let's say I'm a pretty good improviser. I teach a lot of students, and I see a lot of my students from members of Jazz Piano School where they can do things like this. They can improvise over Autumn Leaves, and it might sound like this. That's a pretty proficient high level, and there's a lot of great jazz pianists that can, you know, go through, gigs and cocktail hours and things like that, playing in the level that I just did. Now, but how do we take it to the next level? Like, how do we bump up from there to where we're really creating like just amazing, amazing things? And to get there, we need to analyze styles and textures and sounds, and this is all about musicality. right? Why does Bill Evans sound the way he does? Why does Oscar Peterson sound the way he does? Why does Herbie sound the way he does? Why does McCoy sound the way he does, right? They're all using certain styles and techniques and things that make them sound the way they do. So you need to be able to understand and break down exactly what they're doing, which creates a sound. Let me give you some examples, right? For Oscar, he's using a lot of the blues language, a lot of blues language. So for an F blues, for example, he's going to be using a scale like this, right? And he has a lot of different, you know, things that he does, like let's call them licks and lines. And you need to be able to understand the textures of what he's doing to get that sound, right? A slow stride Oscar, it would probably sound better if I did more of his faster stuff, because that's really what he's known for. So on and so forth. Okay, that was more of an Oscar style. It's kind of messy. I apologize, but that's an Oscar style. Now, the textures he's using, right? Or you can call them licks or lines. I like to call them textures, because a lot of the time it's, you can think of it as textures. Like Errol Garner has certain textures where he's... Like, in order to grasp a style, you're using textures, meaning like I'm using a lot of slides. I'm using a lot of octaves for the Errol style. I'm pulsing my left hand. A lot of shakes, a lot of rolls. Those are textures, right? I don't necessarily need to play transcriptions of Errol to sound like Errol, because I know the textures that he's using to create his style. Again, with Oscar, I don't need to play transcriptions of Oscar to sound like Oscar, because I know he does certain things a lot to create his style, right? He's using this blues scale. He's using lots of thirds. He's using these fifths here. He's going down the blues scale. He's using this six a lot. Lots of arpeggios, lots of different things, right? So the top tier, and again, it's so funny because people always jump to the top tier first. Everyone's always trying to play transcriptions and analyze transcriptions, right? But it's only until you've kind of moving through the plan that I've given you and you have a solid foundation on all these other layers and things in order to improvise that you're going to be able to make use of things that the top echelon players are doing, right? Because you need to know how to analyze those. You need to know how to integrate them into your playing. All right, so number four, again, is how to analyze the transcription. So like when you look at Oscar's transcription, or you look at, you know, Keith Jarrett's transcriptions, right? What is it that they're doing? What textures are they using? How can you include them into your improvisational style to make you a better player? And I'm not talking about licks. I'm talking about textures, right? What can you take away from Oscar that you can use? He's using lots of arpeggios. He's using lots of blues scale. He's using lots of thirds. Right, he's using a lot of rhythmic contrast, which sounds like a drummer. Oscar's solos sound exactly like a drum solo because he has so much rhythm in there. And it's amazing, and he's swinging his butt off, right? So I'm not talking about licks. I'm talking about how to analyze transcriptions so that you can grasp the textures and take them out. Okay, that was number four. Number five is going to be a really, really easy thing. You need discipline. You just need discipline. You need discipline to go through all the other steps, the previous steps that I've talked about, right? And not kind of always be on the edge to jump to the highest and most difficult thing, right? so much throughout my career. We always want to learn harder stuff because that's where we want to be in the future. But we need to understand that if we take our time and we're disciplined and we follow the process and we trust the process, we're going to get there. And when we do, we're going to have a much, much more facility to accomplish the things that we want to do. If we follow the plan, we go step by step. Now, it doesn't mean you can't dabble in some of the harder stuff from time to time, but don't spend your whole time trying to play McCoy transcriptions or Herbie transcriptions or Oscar, right? Learn the basics, learn the fundamentals, because I'll tell you this, when you get to a certain level, it's all about your foundation and your technique. I couldn't do 90% of the things that I can do now if I hadn't gone through all these steps, okay? So just to review, number one's going to be assess the skill set, to assess where you're at truthfully, right? What level you're at, excuse me, and place your goals there. So what's your goal? What's your next step? And I don't want you to jump from like step 3 to step 9. You want to be able to jump from step 3 to step 4, right? Make small progressive steps to help you get better as an improviser. Number 2, learn and understand improv tools, okay? Learn what improv tools are, how they work, how they function, and understand how they implement into improvisation and what they sound like. Like how, why do they make your playing better, right? The altered scale, bebop approach notes, reharms, the diminished scale, chord tones, connecting nodes, modes. Like what do all these tools do? Like why do teachers tell you to learn these things, right? We're not just telling you that just to, you know, blow smoke up your you know what, right? But we're telling you for a specific purpose because they actually, you know, help elevate the sound of your improvisation. Number 3, know how to practice improvisation to get to the level of spontaneous creation, right? Know how to practice your improvisation. Number 4, analyze transcriptions. Know how to analyze transcriptions and styles of players that you want to replicate or get to, you know? Some students want to sound more like the modern style. Some students want to sound more like older style, right? Know what styles you want, how to take textures from those styles and implement them into your playing. And again, that's a really high level concept. Okay, and number 5 again, always, always, always have discipline to practice, to follow the steps that I've put forth before you. And again, when you have more discipline to do this in small chunks consistently, right, every single day, rather than kind of spending 2 hours every 2 weeks, you're going to get so much better so fast. All right, thanks so much for watching. Again, go to jazzpianoschool.com to check out all the free education that we have. Go grab the plan that I have there. It's free, available for download. You don't need to give your email address or anything. It's just available there. You can follow the plan. You can get the 4 steps that I just mentioned in a recap as well. If you're interested in joining our membership, we have a membership as well where you can get access to all the information that I've just laid out and so much more. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon.